Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weisop, and today we're going to talk about the Maui Fire Conspiracy. That's right. From directed energy weapon theories, smart city, AI, great reset, BlackRock snapping up real estate, Oprah, my wife Oprah, and most importantly, the occult symbolism of Sirius, the blazing star of Freemasonry, and the August 8th Lionsgate astrological event. So we're going to look at a whole bunch of conspiracies today, you know? You love the conspiracy theories and unpopular culture? Well, today's the show for you. We're also going to talk a little bit about this celebrity homes in Maui, the Amazon Maui fire book that everyone's talking about. Don't buy it, I'll tell you right now. I didn't buy it, but I'm going to tell you right now, don't buy it. The police chief of Maui, just a bunch of anomalies, right? About how the police chief of Maui allegedly was the police chief in Las Vegas during the 2017 shooting. Was he? Oh, I don't know. We'll find out today. I'm going to get into it. Real estate expansion, flammable grasses, big sugar, power lines, coup d'etats of the Hawaiian people, directed energy gates, and of course, the mystery religion of the occult. We're going to talk about the dog days of summer and Sirius and how it could all have went down as a possible sex and death ritual. And by the time it's over, I'm going to throw out one major conspiracy that I haven't heard anywhere that you're going to 100% believe in by the end of the show. Okay. So, without further ado, I got a lot to get through today, and we're going to do it. We're going to do it, so let's do it. What happened? Let's see. Oh, yeah, and then let me do a little thoughtful preamble so you don't think I'm just trying to capitalize off of misery. Thoughts and prayers, of course. Goes out to Maui and the people in Maui. This is a part of America, right? We should be concerned with it the same way we should have been concerned with Puerto Rico when they got blasted with a hurricane. I mean, hell, you could say Hawaii is the favorite part of America for a lot of people. Myself included. I don't know if I've told anyone this story. I know a lot of people out there are posting vacation pictures from Maui. Oh, my thoughts and prayers go to Maui. Like, okay, sounds good, buddy. But, you know, I get it. Because when I took Mrs. Weisop there for our 10th anniversary many, many moons ago, and we got off the plane, and there's just something magical about Maui. I don't know what it is. It was I don't even know how to explain it. I've been to a lot of places, and this was by far the greatest place I've ever been. In fact, I went back there again a second time. It's just a cool place. I don't know how to explain it. And yeah, I mean, I love Maui. It's great. I would move there if the Islanders didn't hate my Caucasian patriarchal dominance history, okay? And maybe we'll throw that in there, too, into this conspiracy theory realm, because I did see one theory, very controversial, but should we get into it? Let's start off controversial, right? We're already calling this a conspiracy theory show. I read one theory about what happened, and again, I don't know which one of these theories is accurate. Some of them have more credibility than others. I'll let you decide. But one theory I've heard is that it's no big secret that indigenous Hawaiian Islanders are not big fans of the whites from the mainland, okay? Now, that's a blanketed statement. In fact, when I went to Maui, I felt nothing but at home with all the people there, okay? But I've seen many, many videos from Hawaiian, I don't know what the right term is. Okay, folks, don't crucify me. The indigenous Hawaiian people, right? Because it is their land, and we did, in fact, sort of commandeer it. And we're going to get into that later, because we're going to talk about the sugar plants, the sugar plantations. But I have heard sentiment. And look, I don't know. Is this a very minor population? Because people could look at videos from certain Americans and think, oh, they're all racist. And when clearly that's not the answer. Not everyone is racist in America. But you might think that. Well, I mean, the argument goes the same for the Native Hawaiians, right? Is it true that all of them are? Surely not. Surely not. But that is a sentiment you can find. And one theory I saw was that this was retaliation from the white elites saying, oh, you don't want us on your land? You don't want us moving to Hawaii? Well, we're going to take it. We're going to take it with laser beams. That's what I saw. I don't know. But okay, where are we going here? My point was, I, like so many others, love Maui. It's easily my favorite place I've ever been to in my entire life. And, of course, thoughts and prayers go out there. It's a very peaceful place. I don't know, words can't express it. I just love it. And I don't know if that's my granola hippie sort of background vibes, you know what I mean? Me and Mrs. Wiser, we went out to the Little Makena Beach, and there was a drum circle, and it was just amazing. Oh my gosh, the people there were amazing people. So it truly breaks my heart to see this happen. Because everyone who knows me personally knows that Maui has always had a special place in my heart. And I don't think that's specific to me. I think a lot of people feel that way. Because there's something beautiful about it. It really is. It's a national treasure of sorts. In fact, it taught me a lot of granola ways, right? Like I remember going to the store and they did not offer plastic bags. This is long ago. And I was like, what do you mean you don't offer the plastic bags? And they're like, no, the whole island, we don't do that because it goes out in the ocean and all this beautiful wildlife and whales and stuff. It just wreaks havoc. You can learn to bring reusable grocery bags to the store. And I did that. It took me a couple years to get the hang of it. Because I'd always forget. I'd get in the store and I'd remember halfway through, like, ah, damn it, the reusables, right? And what I started doing was, when I thought of it, I would park my cart and walk back out to the car and get my reusables and bring them in. That finally drilled it into my brain, and now it's like second nature. I don't even think about going into the store without one. Anyway, point being, look, you don't have to believe in, you don't have to be a big liberal Joe Biden climate change person to see, obviously, plastic is bad for the ocean, right? We can agree on that. Anyway. Point is, I love Hawaii. I've never been to another island. I've been to Maui, and people tell me the other islands are amazing too. I wouldn't know because Maui is so amazing that if I think, hey, I'm going to Hawaii, that's the only place I want to go. All right? Okay. What happened? Well, in Wikipedia, and this was data I retrieved yesterday, which would be Tuesday, August 15th. So this is outdated, but you get it, right? Early August, a series of wildfires broke out in Hawaii. Wildfires broke out in Hawaii, mainly Maui, killing at least 99 in Lahaina, with over 1,000 people missing. Wildfires were attributed to dry, gusty conditions from a high-pressure area north of Hawaii and Hurricane Dora to the south. Emergencies declared on August 8th. Estimates are also over 2,200 buildings destroyed. Oh, and this is what it says in there, literally. Overwhelmingly residential in nature and including many historic landmarks in Lahaina. Cost estimated at over $6 billion. Says the typical areas burned by wildfires in Hawaii has increased in recent decades, almost quadrupling. Experts have blamed the increase on the spread of non-native vegetation and hotter, drier weather due to climate change. And I did read that Maui was also in a drought prior to all of this. Also, I read a book. I don't remember the name of it. There's a book. Somebody wrote a book about Maui Revealed or Hidden Maui or something like that. And I read the whole dang book before I went over there the first time. And if you do go to Maui, there's a dangerous, you know, tread at your own risk. There's a thing called these olivine pools. If you go to the west side of the island where Lahaina is and you keep going north, like you're going to get Julia's world famous banana bread, which is pretty amazing, there's these things called the olivine pools, and the water just from the ocean just crashes up into these pools. It's amazing. Oh my God, what am I doing on the mainland? I want to be there. But anyways, I've heard the west side of the island is the drier side. I think they call it the leeward or the wayward. I don't remember. I myself am more of a Kihei kind of guy. Lahaina is a little more upscale. This is from my perspective of things, right? They're both touristy, Lahaina and Kihei. But I liked Kihei better, right? And I've been down to Makena. But Lahaina felt a little more upscale to me. I don't know. I could be wrong on that. It was just my personal take on it. I've been there. I've been to the... went snorkeling at the... I don't even remember the name of the beach anymore. Famous snorkeling beach with tons of fish. It's amazing. And that's in Lahaina. So it's also where the big banyan tree is. I caught a whale watching tour out of Lahaina. Anyway. Okay, so let's dig into these things, right? You didn't come here for a Rick Steves tour guide of Maui. You came here for conspiracy theories, and by God, that's what I'm going to give you. Let's talk anomalies first before we dig into some of the juicier theories. First, recall they have this largest alarm system in the world for Maui, for Hawaii. And the alarm didn't go off not one time. And the fire raged for about 4 hours. I don't know if you recall, but I think it was a few years ago, they had an erroneous alarm trigger talking about, I want to say like incoming nukes or something crazy. And it was an accident, whatever, right? But they have this alarm system, okay? I'm going to read to you from CNN. The county fire department declared in a Facebook post that the blaze was 100% contained shortly before 9 a.m. on August 8th. But that sense of accomplishment turned out to be tragically premature. By the afternoon, the flames in the hills above Lahaina had flared up once again, and a deadly combination of months-long drought, extreme winds, and non-native grasses that acted like kindling fanned the sparks into a massive inferno. So why no alarm? Why the mission accomplished banner? Interesting things. And like I said, it's an anomaly. I don't know. Bake that into whichever conspiracy you want to believe, okay? This is kind of a bigger one. There's a lot of theories online saying that Maui was set to become a smart city, a 15-minute smart city. And what they're talking about, if you don't know what a smart city is, it goes back to the days of the Clinton Foundation in the early 2000s. They were working with Cisco to build systems of networks, sensors, data centers to make cities energy efficient. And this morphed into the idea of what is now known as a smart city, where everything and everyone is connected to the grid, very much like a science fiction movie. And the problem is very much like you would see in a science fiction movie. There's going to be some level of surveillance. There's going to be digital AI control of your city. There's going to be facial recognition. There's going to be the Internet of Things, which is a concept we talked about on my 5G conspiracy shows a few years back. I did two parts on 5G. It's also in the book I wrote called Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. And the Internet of Things is basically using 5G to connect every device that you own together so that it can create a mesh or a network or a grid. And they sell it to you as, wow, your life's going to be convenient and you're going to work real efficient and all these great things are going to happen. And my argument is, much like all technology, it should not be trusted. Not fully trusted. Because someone's behind the technology. All right? That's like saying... And this was my beef with, in Utah here, we have a nanny state government. And they said, look, no one in Utah can look at pornography anymore online. And, well, they did it in a sneaky way. They told Pornhub and some other sites, hey, we want the users from Utah to upload their government identification to gain access so you can make sure they're adults, right? It's always to protect the kids, all right? And... the websites retaliated and said, no, we're not doing that. And they ended up just banning everyone, right? Or so I've heard, okay? But the point is, even if that was the way I wanted to consume that medium, I would never upload my ID. That's the same reason why you'll notice I'm not Instagram verified. I'm Twitter verified because all they did was check a phone number. I'm not Instagram or Facebook verified or Meta, whatever, because they want you to upload your ID. Why on earth would I trust any of these tech giants with my personal identification? I'm sure they could figure it out, right? I'm sure the technology exists. They already know who I am. But, you know, I don't know. I value my privacy to a certain extent. Now, if Instagram says, look, to get on Instagram, you need to upload your ID, that's a different story. Then I'm going to be like, ugh, that sucks. I wouldn't be thrilled about it. I might do it. I might not. I don't know. Ask me when it happens. But to just get my blue check mark, no thanks, Zuckerberg. Suck it. I'll fight Zuckerberg. I'll fight him in the Coliseum. I don't think he's got the heart. I know he's got a black belt jiu-jitsu. Yeah, whatever, dude. That dude's a puss bag. I'll fight him right now. I've never been in a fight. What am I talking about? I could never do that. I'm a lover, not a fighter. But, Zuckerberg makes me mad. So does Elon Musk, right? These guys, they own these mediums of Facebook and Instagram and Twitter because they're like, oh, we want to connect everybody. And it's nice because it does do that. But they have nefarious reasons for it. They want to collect and scrape the data, share it with corporate conglomerates, or even worse, right? So that's why people don't like smart city ideas, which I agree with them. I wouldn't want to live in a smart city. Are you kidding me? It also promotes things like a social credit score, like you see in China. It's exactly what China does. They use facial recognition to see if you're breaking the law, if you're doing something wrong. You know? That's the problem with technology and the internet. We're a little too connected. So in January in Maui, there was... sorry, it was tee shot night last night, folks. You're talking to High T Isaac. In January, another theory you'll see when you scour the dregs of the internet. There's a theory that back in January 23, Maui was making plans to create themselves as a smart city. There was a smart city conference, okay? Now, besides the fact that Maui is not a city, it is actually a county in Hawaii. Lahaina is a city. But let's put that aside. There is a terribly doctored flyer from this supposed event that maybe it's real. I don't know. It certainly doesn't seem real. It's like brought to you by NASA and the NSA and the FBI. And I'm like, bro, really? I mean, it looks like the most Photoshopped, not even a good Photoshop. But maybe, right? I don't know. I could be wrong because I saw the post and I just was like, okay. But there was an actual fairly credible thing that happened. If you looked on January 3rd through the 6th in 2023, there was a Hawaii International Conference on System Sciences. I looked into that. I couldn't see anything specifically saying that Maui is going to be a smart city. Then... another thing you'll notice is people post that they'll post all this stuff together in one video to really persuade you that Maui was going to be a smart city controlled by AI. And they're different things. Some of them are accurate, some of them aren't, but they all didn't happen in January of 23. Another image you'll see from these presentations the Illuminati was giving the public, a thing called Jump Smart Maui. But that has nothing to do with this smart city briefing from 2023, supposedly. It was actually an older project that, from what I could tell, was trying to get more renewable energies and electric cars into Maui. Because if you've ever been to Maui, you'll know they use a lot of renewable sources there, right? Because they're an island out in the middle of nowhere. So they've got giant, wind propellers going up the mountain. Anyway. So, and then to back this up even more, because I know a lot of people have a raging one for this idea. They're like, no, Isaac, it's Klaus Schwab and a great reset trying to turn Maui into a smart city. That's what they want. And maybe, right? I don't disagree. Like, there's a thing called the Great Reset, and they for sure want a smart city so they can surveil us. But I think this ain't it, Chief. This ain't the one. If you go to PolitiFact, they talked directly to Tung Bui, the chair of the Information Technology Management Department at the University of Hawaii, and the chair of this annual conference, the one that they're claiming was the big AI takeover of Maui conference. And Tung told PolitiFact there was nothing unusual about the discussion, and he rebuked the notion that this somehow laid the groundwork for a master plan to destroy Maui. Bui said, the concept of smart cities has been a subject of inquiry for at least three decades, coinciding with the emergence of government utilization of databases and other technological tools to augment public services encompassing transportation, public health, and more. Bui said of the more than 2,000 researchers who present work at the annual conference that there are a core that work on e-government and a few on smart cities. At the January conference, we did not have any specific discussion to turn Maui into a smart city. The idea of resorting to destructive measures, causing harm to a historic landmark and resulting in numerous fatalities, all in an attempt to transform Maui into a smart island, stretches the boundaries of my imagination. Anyway, and it kind of goes on and on, right? But the theory is that Maui was looking to make the entire area a government AI-controlled, quote-unquote, city. And the nefarious part was that all this data was going to go back to Microsoft and Bill Gates. I mean, another problem is that Bill Gates doesn't own Microsoft anymore. Could he be involved still? Sure. But he stepped away. Remember back in, remember Barry's back in like January 2020 before the pandemic hit, all these CEOs started stepping down everywhere. Well, that was one of them. Now, the closest thing to reality I could find was a September 2023 event that, as far as I could tell, is still on because it's in Honolulu. It's not even in Maui, but it's in Honolulu on Oahu on September 25th called the Hawaii Digital Government Summit. And if you go to their website, the one presentation that you could use to support this theory about the smart city takeover, it says Digital Transformation for Government, The Future is Now, which is also the name of a great nonfiction album. The future is now. The world of government technology is shifting by the day. The need for dynamic digital transformation and unlocking the power of emerging technologies like AI and Internet of Things is the future. There are tools that are transforming state and local government, including exciting real-world examples drawn from the latest surveys and blah, 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 blah. Stay ahead of the curve and revolutionize your government. The future is now. By Jack Shaw, innovation and technology strategist, speaker, author, consultant. So, I mean, was that from January? No. Is that talking about turning Maui into a smart city? Maybe. I mean, you could stretch that. I feel like it's too much of a stretch. And I'm not saying that a smart city plan isn't possible. I'm just saying I didn't see any credible proof of it. PolitiFact claims it's total fake news, which I gotta believe until I see otherwise. And don't send me grandpa's Facebook post linking to political facts, yournewscountry.com or these nonsense websites. I feel like they're all controlled opposition. Ever since the Q thing, I am skeptical of everything I read now. And I'm not saying, oh, Politica fact would never lie to me. Sure. But until I can see proof that they are, like, I'm going with it, right? Like I said, I scour through all these different events and claims and theories. And is it impossible? No. Is it likely what was... And then not only do you have to sort of take a stretch to believe that they had these plans for Maui to turn it into a smart city, that they were telling the public about. Not only would you have to believe that, but you'd have to believe that they would coordinate this fire. Anyway, there's just too many things in there for me to put my stamp of approval on. And look, I get it. I don't think we put a man on the moon. I don't think it. I know it. I know we didn't put a man on the moon, all right? I know it. I can't wait for the day to be vindicated. I can't wait. Maybe. Or maybe I'll be proven wrong. They said they're sending humans up in the next couple years. Okay, let's see it. I'd love to see it. Since we're talking AI, there's a book on Amazon. A couple people sent this to me. It's a book called Fire and Fury, the story of the 2023 Maui fire and its implications for climate change. And everyone's talking about this book because it was released August 10th, which is obviously right in the middle of the fires. People say, what the hell? They're freaking out. How could someone publish a book about it already? Well, it's only 44 pages long. I could write that in a day, maybe two, if it's not well researched. You know, if I'm just on my soapbox, I could knock that out in a day or two. So, and it's self-published. So, of course, someone could self-publish this by Dr. Miles Stones. Dr. Miles Stone. And this Dr. Miles Stone has published about 20 books in the last 2 months. And the covers are real sort of lowbrow, made at home. And I know because I'm the king of lowbrow, made at home self-published books. I've done 9 of them, all right? And I got a 10th coming, this Twin Peaks book, which I just realized that is my 10th book. And in the Twin Peaks storyline, 10 is the number of completion, a Kabbalistic reference. So very interesting. Anyways, it's $8.99. I looked at the preview and I looked at the other works from this author. It looks like nonsense. It looks like AI. I guarantee this person is doing this as passive income. And not a bad idea, honestly. But Dr. Miles Stones doesn't have a bio or nothing. Like, bull crap, man. I'm not buying any of this. He also wrote a book about Hunter Biden, by the way. But all of them get 1 star. I don't know. I have a hard time believing that. I'm not spending $9 on it. Usually I'll buy the books and tell you guys what's in it. This one's nonsense. It's all AI. There's no way. So on August 10th, basically, he went on ChatGPT, said, write me a 40-page book about the Maui wildfires. Copy, print, send it over to Amazon. He did 20 books in 2 months. That doesn't make any sense. I get it. You can write a book in a couple days. I get that. But 20 books in 2 months? That's exhausting. But what really makes me question is that he doesn't have a bio. Bull crap. I don't buy that for a second, then. Not even a social media or nothing. Okay. So there's a book out there. I mean, if you want to read it, knock yourself out. Celebrities. There is, if you go to NewYorkTimes.com, they published a list of all the celebrities who own land in Maui. All of these properties are, of course, just fine. But Maui's a pretty big island, right? Let's put our rational caps on for a second. It is possible that a wildfire raged through the town of Lahaina and decimated it, and then touched a few other areas of the island and didn't damage any of these rich celebrity homes. That's very possible. It's a big ass island. It's very large. But Oprah, she owns 1,000 acres, including 870 acres in an area southeast of Lahaina, and it's totally fine. 1,000 acres, if I recall, when I looked up the size of that, that's, I believe it's like a square mile. So you could drive 30 miles an hour for 2 minutes before you reach the end of her property. That's a lot of land, folks. Steven Tyler from Aerosmith. Owen Wilson. I read he has a house in Paia, which is this cool little hippie town. Woody Harrelson. Who doesn't love Woody Harrelson, right? Remember, he was on SNL. talking about stabby things. Willie Nelson. We all love Willie Nelson. Jim Carrey. Some of us love him. Some of them think he's Illuminate confirmed. I know he makes a hell of a good movie. I know that much. And Willie Nelson, I've been to, I could be wrong, but in Paia, there's a restaurant with a Great Dane theme. And we had just lost our Great Dane when we went to Maui, and we were really sad. And we went into that restaurant. I thought that was pretty cool. And I heard that Willie Nelson themed it after his Great Dane. I'm going off the memory banks from a long time ago, so don't hold me to any of these things. Let's see. Peter Thiel, the guy who founded PayPal with Elon Musk, I believe, he paid $27 million in 2011 for a home in Makena, that's south of Kihei. The fires hit as close as 10 miles from his house. And he had the most expensive home on the island. I don't know what it's worth today, but it was 27 mils and 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Jeff Bezos, I bought a lap dance for the world's richest man. Bought 14 acres for $78 million last year. He's about 20 miles south of the fires. And I already donated $100 million. Hey, that's how you do it. That's how you do it. And you know what? Jeff Bezos is one of the world's most evil nerds, but he's one that I am okay with. I use Amazon all the time. I love it. I self-publish through Amazon. I listen to the Amazon music. I do the Amazon Prime videos. I got a nice little catalog of videos on Amazon movies. Is he a rich creep? Sure. But he's my rich creep. All right. Because I'll be honest, Amazon figured it out. It doesn't seem like rocket science. No pun intended there, but it doesn't seem like rocket science. He figured it out. A way to make it easy to shop online. Which sucks for the brick and mortars, but hey, I'm lazy. Larry Ellison bought a county. He bought a county that Bill and Melinda got married in called Lanai. I just realized that if there's a... Okay, hang on a second. I got to do a little fact checking here. Because I was under the impression that Maui is a county. Yeah, Maui County. So what's Lanai then? I'm going to put up Maui, Lanai County. It's a city. Well, I don't know why New York Times told me it was a county. I don't know. Take that for what it's worth. But this guy bought a big ass. Maybe that was supposed to be, maybe it was my fault. Maybe I wrote county. I meant to write city. This guy bought the whole city. Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac owned a restaurant in Lahaina that went up in flames. I think he also does a whale parade every year, because I happened to be there for that one year. So Mick didn't make out too well. But why would he, you know? He's just one of the peasants compared to Oprah and Jeff Bezos. So that's another theory is like, well, hey, why did the celebrities, none of their homes burn up? Well, I mean, I don't know. None of them lived in downtown Lahaina. I have seen some very interesting footage showing how the fire burned just the homes and not the trees around it. That's really weird. That's weird. We're still on anomalies, folks. I haven't even gotten into the directed energy weapon theory yet. There's another conspiracy about the police chief of Maui. They're like, oh, this guy was also the Las Vegas police chief during the 2017 concert shootings. And what they're referring to is a guy named John Pelletier, who is in fact the police chief on Maui. And he's done that since November of 21. He was, let's see. Okay, so he's from Buffalo, New York. He is the first non-Hawaiian police chief of Maui, which is kind of sus. And if you go to his LinkedIn, it shows he was a police captain in Las Vegas from January 2020 to December of 21, which does not place him there during the festival. But if you go to USA Today, it'll tell you that October 1st, 2017, Pelletier was the incident commander covering the strip when a gunman unleashed a hail of bullets on the country music festival, killing 58 and injuring many more. So he was, in fact, a significant leadership role. He wasn't the police chief, but he had a pretty high up role there in Las Vegas. Now, what's the theory here? I don't know. He's coordinating these things? I don't know. What I did find in my own research, if you go to his LinkedIn, it says that he graduated from the FBI National Academy. It says attended FBI NA 276. So now we've got intelligence connections here. Now it's getting a little weird, right? And if you look at that Las Vegas event, there's plenty of red flags there. This psychopath, the 64-year-old dude, had gone, not the police chief, the shooter. I don't want to say his name because I feel like on some level these weirdos like the publicity they get from it. I almost feel like if they just didn't report him, maybe it would come down more. But hey, it's news. People got to know. But I'm not saying his name because F him. The 64-year-old guy, he unloaded an entire arsenal from his 32nd floor window at the Mandalay Bay. 32, of course, the second highest level in Freemasonry. Yeah, I don't know. Fired over 1,000 rounds, killed 60-some people. Deadliest mass shooting in American history. No determination ever made on why this guy did this. A lot of truthers believe this is one of many false flag events, these shootings. And the whole goal of the false flag shootings is to ultimately take the guns away from citizens. Which is, you know, Second Amendment says, depending on how you interpret it, says that the populace should be armed. And look, I'm okay with that. I'm actually okay with a Second Amendment. Because, look, if there's some kind of authoritarian government trying to steal the election or take over, oh, boy, and I hear eyes rolling everywhere. But let's say it did happen. You know, that's one way of sort of keeping the power in check. But the real problem is that the NRA has everyone's balls in a vise, all the politicians and everyone. I mean, they're literally shooting up elementary schools with little children. And they can't pass any kind of, there's no, nothing. We can't even think about gun control on any form or any level, right? Which I think there could be some level, right? There's got to be something. And would it help? Sometimes it would help. So I don't know. It's a tough conversation, right? And this is the problem with a lot of conspiracy folks where they lose me. They think that the Illuminati can create hurricanes that can hit Maui at a precise ritualistic date so they can burn down the homes and rebuild them into these Chinese social credit score AI fueled smart cities. Yet at the same time, the same Illuminati is so incompetent that they can't ever figure out how to finally take the guns away. They just can't do it. But it constantly gets brought up, constantly. And I'm not saying there's not an interest in... I'm not saying that there is not a force, an Illuminati, if you will, that would be interested in taking guns away. I agree. Like, that is very much something that they would like. So that they can fully instill this authoritarian government. I'm just saying that money trumps everything when it comes to American politics. You know? And I'm not saying let's ban guns. I'm saying sane people oftentimes need access to guns for protection or hunting. If you look at the 1960s when the Black Panthers were stomping all over California, the Ronald Reagan and the right-wingers they wanted gun control. They were scared to death. They said, oh my God, we need to pass gun control. Because they were scared of a revolution. So, yes, there are forces and powers that be that would love to take that threat away. But for, you know, to defend it, it's like sometimes you've got single women living in you know, lower income housing sometimes, and they need protection, man. So I want them to be able to protect themselves and their families. I'm just saying that the conspiracy of these fake false flag shootings being used to take guns away is a sort of default, and it's low-lying fruit for some theorists, and they'll just go there with it without even thinking it through. It's like, if that's really happening, I mean, how many times does it have to happen before they actually get what they want? You know what I mean? This sure as hell ain't working. It's the worst false flag attempt in history because they can't get done what they want to get done. Let's stay focused, though, here. Anyways, this shooting in Las Vegas, it happened on the last night of this Harvest Music Festival. Last performance, the last night, when Mr. Small Town Guy, Jason Aldean, was performing. And while I'm on the soapbox, you're going to say, well, Isaac, you got to weigh in on the small town song. I don't, and I actually don't care. I don't like country music. I think it's faker than most music, even hip-hop. I think it's faker than hip-hop. None of these guys are small-town country guys. Well, some of them might be. They're singers and entertainers, okay? They were the nerds in music class singing that, well, I made fun of. Now they want to act like they're throwing bales of hay and riding horses. And look, in that song, is there dog whistly stuff in the video and in the song? I'm sure, right? Whatever. But whatever, man. People from small towns probably like the song. So, and it's art. I don't think we should cancel any art. You don't like it, don't listen to it. And I bought Cop Killer from Ice-T when I was a kid. I bought 2 Live Crew when I was a kid. And they wanted to ban that stuff so hard. I think they did ban it. I think they banned Cop Killer. And look at me. I'm totally fine. Nothing wrong with me. Oh, jeez. Anyways, remember those green lights from the Chinese satellites that were on Hawaii in early 23? Well, maybe that should be more of the directed energy weapon conversation. I don't know. Okay, where were we? I lost track here, folks. Oh, yeah, the police chief guy. I don't know what the theory is. I don't know what people are like, because a lot of theorists will be like, it's the same police chief during the shootings. Coincidence? And I'll be like, okay, that is pretty weird. And I don't know. Like, what are they saying? Are they saying that these are big events and this guy is the gatekeeper that opened up the doors to allow these things? Or is he the agent, the plant? It could be, right? He went to the FBI. So, and there are examples of intelligence agents provocateuring events. But I think that's the theory. I don't know for sure what, but that's interesting. Okay. All right, that's enough of the anomalies. Let's get into some of the a little more dense theories. Real estate. The fire hit some of the most expensive real estate on the entire planet in Lahaina, Maui, Hawaii. The average price of a home in Maui is about $1 million. And I've read that Hawaii has some of the strictest housing regulations in America that also contributes to the high prices. It averages over 10 years for someone to build a house on the raw land, which, if you think about it, that sucks for Lahaina. All these people lost their homes. And the theory is that the Illuminati burned down all these homes. Now the Illuminati will come in and say, hey, I'll buy that land off you where your house burnt down. I'm going to buy that land off you. And if you were one of the victims who had your house burned down, not to mention that people lost a lot of loved ones, let's not forget that. It's more important than the homes, honestly. But the home, if you have a plot of land, your home burned down, and you know that it takes 10 years at the least to build a house now, what are you supposed to do? It's got to be tempting to sell that land and be like, well, let me cash it in. Here's, you know, let's say the Illuminati gives you $500,000 for that plot of land, or $1 million. Let's say $1 million. Now you could move to Kansas and have the nicest house in the damn state for $1 million. I mean, it's got to be tempting. So in a way, it kind of plays into the theory. But who owns Maui? I went to realhawaii.co. It says, the state of Hawaii owns over 154,000 acres in Maui. But after the state of Hawaii, Alexander and Baldwin is the second largest owner at over 65,000 acres, putting Oprah to shame. Oprah's only got 1,000, okay? And this is the problem. A lot of conspiracy people, they stay hyper-focused because they have this sort of burning hatred of anything liberal, right? Which is ironic because Maui is one of the most liberal places I've ever been in my entire life. But but Oprah, who, you know, she represents everything that they hate, she owns a hell of a lot of land, 1,000 acres. But this Alexander and Baldwin owns 65,000 acres. They're the second largest homeowner or landowner. Even the U.S. government has less. The U.S. government owns 33,000 acres. So, who is Alexander and Baldwin? Well, they're part of what was known as the Big Five. I'm going to read to you from Wiki. The Big Five was the name given to a group of what started as sugarcane processing corporations that wielded considerable political power in Hawaii during the early 20th century and leaned heavily towards the Hawaii Republican Party. The Big Five were Castle and Cook, Alexander and Baldwin, C. Brewer and Company, American Factors, now AmFac, and Theo H. Davies and Co. The extent of the power that the Big Five had was considered by some as equivalent to an oligarchy. Attorney General of Hawaii Edmund Pearson Dole, referring to the Big Five, said in 1903, "There is a government in this territory which is centralized to an extent unknown by the U.S. and probably almost as centralized as it was in France under Louis the, XIV. What is that? 14th? Is that one? Who cares? But he says an oligarchy. They called it an oligarchy. In Greek, oligarchy means rule by the few. It's the elites. It's the 0.1%. And sugar is a big old conspiracy, by the way, in and of itself. I mean, not to mention when you talk about big pharma and health and nutrition, but sugar as a industry goes back to the monopoly man days, the industrial days, you know, with the top hats and the curly mustaches. So Alexander and Baldwin, part of the oligarchy of big sugar, and they own more land than damn near anybody. Now, worse yet, if you go to that same Wikipedia page for the Big Five, you'll find out that the other four of those Big Five have been either merged or bought out or folded up. And the only one left is Alexander and Baldwin. Wouldn't that be funny if that was the Baldwin family? I didn't look into that. Maybe that is. Someone look into that. Is that the Baldwins? Alec Baldwin? So A and B, it says A and B diversified and remains in business. Today it owns about 91,000 acres of land and is the fifth largest landowner in the state. Now what's weird about that statement is that on Wikipedia it says that, but 91,000 is even more than the 65,000 that the Real Hawaii website claimed. And Wikipedia says that they're fifth, not second. But I'll note that on Wikipedia, it says citation needed, so I'm hesitant to believe that. I'm sticking with the Real Hawaii, which says 65,000 acres, second largest landowner. So, I mean, you want to talk about who owns the land in Maui, we can't deny Big Sugar. And if you go on TikTok, you'll see videos of these displaced homeowners. And they'll directly say, look, Wall Street's calling. They're trying to buy the land up right now as we speak. And they're talking about, I think the governor of Hawaii was talking about passing legislation so that people can't buy the land or something. I don't remember. But the governor of Hawaii was also on video saying that he's considering options to have the state buy the land and turn it into workforce housing. And I'm like, bro, you're taking away single family homes if you do that, right? That's not good, is it? Is that contributing to this 15-minute city idea to have it as workforce housing? And I think the motivation there is that if the state buys it, then the people, maybe they give it, I don't know, maybe they indefinitely lease it back to the people. I don't know what the idea is there. I know they're trying to figure it out, though. And I hope people could figure out how to get back into their homes or into new homes or whatever makes it right. I mean, it's a bad deal, you know. I don't know what you would do. If you were one of those people that lost your homes or loved ones, man, that's tough. Knowing how long it takes to build a house, because they're literally out in the middle of nowhere, out in the middle of the ocean. It's not like they can just get all the supplies they need quickly. You got to ship them on these big old barges and stuff. Cost a ton. All right, power lines. I'm going to read to you from CNN. County and state officials have said the cause of the fire has not yet been determined. But in a lawsuit filed Saturday, a Lahaina couple argued that Hawaiian Electric and three subsidiaries, including the power utility that services Maui, were responsible for the blaze. The company inexcusably kept their power lines energized during the storm, despite warnings from the National Weather Service about dangerous winds, the lawsuit stated. That caused loss of life, serious injuries, destructions of hundreds of homes and businesses, displacement of thousands of people, and damage to many of Hawaii's historic cultural sites. So, who is Hawaiian Electric? Well, if you go to money.cnn, it shows the top 10 shareholders of this company. Guess who's number one? Vanguard at 11.47%. Number two, BlackRock at 8.43%. Now, I should also add that I'm no financial expert. In fact, some could say I'm not good with money. But I'm confused because Google shows, it says approximately 20,000 Hawaii residents are shareholders of the Hawaiian Electric Company's parent company, Hawaiian Electric Industries. So either Google's retrieval is misleading or those 20,000 residents are the other 80% of the company. But the fact remains the two biggest shareholders are Vanguard and BlackRock, which means they probably have the biggest say in Hawaiian Electric. And the theory is that BlackRock and Vanguard, who have their fingies in a lot of pies, some could say every single pie that ever existed on a publicly traded company, they own the power company effectively. And they didn't shut off the power when the winds hit because they wanted it to burn so that they could buy the land and get the locals to leave because the locals weren't going to leave. That's the theory. And that's what ties us into that, I don't know what you want to call it, the racist theory that the Hawaiian natives wanted to get all the white folks out of the island. So BlackRock and Vanguard were like, all right, bet. How about we laser beam your house down? Now what? You know what I mean? Like, that's cold-blooded if that's how it went down. But that's a theory I saw, and I thought, man, I wonder if that's not it. Because I actually had, it was hurtful to me. I saw a lot of videos of Hawaiian natives talking real bad about mainlander white people coming to vacation and even move there. And I was like, dang, man, where was that aloha spirit? Because I felt at home when I was there, and it made me hesitant to go back because I was like, well, man, maybe they don't want me there. And that's a good segue to the next topic, the coup d'etat. Because the Hawaiian indigenous people, they're real suspicious about all of these things, and who can blame them, right? America issued an apology in 1993 for overthrowing the Kingdom of Hawaii. And the USA, look, we don't apologize. I read that we apologized 5 times exactly in our history. Once for shielding a Nazi, once for the Tuskegee experiment, once for the Japanese concentration camps, and once for slavery and Jim Crow laws, and then once for overthrowing the Hawaiian, what do we call it, the royal family or kingdom or whatever. And before that, Europeans and Brits and Americans like James Cook, they were setting up sugar factories to export sugar from Hawaii in the late 1700s, and others followed suit, and it altered Hawaii's whole ass economy. I'm going to read you from Wikipedia, because I am not an expert on Hawaii, all right? The influence of the United States and Hawaiian government began with American-born plantation owners advocating for fair representation in the kingdom's politics, owing to the significant tax contributions made from the plantations to both the royal family and national economy. This was driven by missionary religion and the economics of the sugar industry. So if I understand it, sugar barons with the top hats went over to Hawaii, set up a bunch of sugar factories. They were paying a bunch of taxes to the kingdom of Hawaii because they were like, look, well, we're going to export all your sugar and make a ton of money, but here's a big cut of money. And the kingdom of Hawaii was like, all right, bet, give me the money. Sounds good. But then, you know, taxation without representation doesn't go too far. And the sugar baron said, you know what? Actually, now I want a little piece of your government, too. I'm giving you all this money. Let me have at least some say as to what happens with it. All right. Then in 1893, they did a full-on coup d'etat. Says the overthrow of the monarchy was started by a newspaper publisher, Lorne Thurston, a Hawaiian subject and former minister of the interior, who was the grandson of American missionaries and formerly led by the chairman of the Committee of the Safety, Henry Cooper, an American lawyer. They derived their support primarily from the American and European business class residing in Hawaii and other supporters of the Reform Party of the Hawaiian Kingdom. Most of the leaders of the Committee of Safety that deposed the Queen were United States and European citizens who were also kingdom subjects, included legislators, government officers, and a Supreme Court Justice of the Hawaiian Kingdom. There's that media again. That's why Bezos and all these billionaires are buying the news. Started in a whole revolution, stealing people's land. And, you know, that's where the roots of the Hawaiian distrust of the, you know, the American whites, which, hey, who can blame them? I mean, that's pretty terrible. And then what do? We just gave him an apology. Sorry about that, you know. Dang, it's rough. But, you know, it's not the common folks. It's, I'm going to read you again who it was. It was the guy that owned the news. It was a lawyer. And it was legislators, government officers, and the American and European business class. It's the elites. It's the oligarchy who did it. Dole, they have the pineapple plantations and all that. They grew grasses on the land that apparently were never used, and this would turn out to be the perfect tinder for these fires. I read that the last sugarcane plantation in Maui came down in 2016, but what was left behind were tons of these African variety grasses that were not native to Hawaii. They were bought for livestock forage, and now they cover up to a quarter of the Hawaiian land, and they grow fast, they're drought resistant, but they're dry as hell, and they're highly flammable. I read that there was a document from 2020 that had a hazard mitigation plan for Maui, and it said that West Maui had the highest probability of having these wildfire problems. It listed a more than 90% probability of having annual wildfires, and one of the causes for these wildfires was going to be these grasses. And the plantations, apparently, I guess they used to maintain them, but they started shutting those down in the 1990s as tourism became the bigger, part of the economy. So now they got all these flammable grasses all over the island. But they knew it was a problem. And the same goes for the energy, the power lines. Hawaiian Electric's own website, I seen it on, I follow a guy, Ken's IO, and he showed on the website, They call out landowners and say, look, if you got trees getting in the way of our power lines, you better cut them back. We do it without, we keep our power lines maintained. And there's video and photo footage everywhere showing that they were not maintaining them. And then on top of that, Vanguard and BlackRock own 20% of the company. And then on top of that, they left the power lines active. Left them running. That's real sus. Okay. Let's get into some of the wilder stuff. Directed energy weapons. Sophisticated laser beams. A direct, you'll see it abbreviated DEW. A directed energy weapon is a focused laser beam of energy. It doesn't have the kinetic projectile like a bullet. We're talking lasers, microwaves, sound beams. I saw on Aviation Week there was an article. It said by the late 2020s, this is going to be a thing. Well, it's already a thing. If you've ever seen these riot control videos or the big defense contractors, Northrop, Lockheed, Boeing, they have these laser systems to shoot down missiles and things. It's pretty wild. But yeah, that's a thing. It's a real thing, and you know, what's going on with it? I don't know. But one of the older examples is the Ronald Reagan Star Wars Strategic Defense Initiative. He wanted space-based lasers to take out the intercontinental ballistic missile nukes. This is during the Cold War, of course. And this concept actually goes back to Edward Teller. If you listen to my show on Oppenheimer, he was the hydrogen bomb guy. And Los Alamos demonstrated these ideas. Also a major part of the Oppenheimer story. Now, I also read on Wikipedia that the Soviets were alleged to also have a laser, and there was a conspiracy theory that they took down the Challenger shuttle in the 80s with their laser. I hadn't heard that before. That's pretty wild. There's also a theory that those people never died. I don't know. Have you ever looked that up? The Challenger astronauts today? There's people that look exactly like they would look. Just saying. I don't know. Seems a little weird. The U.S. has been trying to make a laser-based system that works since forever. And I've read lots of complaints about this. I mean, I don't know if we've mastered the technology or not. But the claim, the theory in Maui is that the fires were started from direct energy weapons or lasers. I've seen people sharing images of a laser hitting the ground. I've seen debunks of those photos. One said there was a Vandenberg SpaceX Falcon photo taking off. Another one was from 2018 of an explosion, and it just happened to look like it was a laser beam going up. It's hard to know, right? It's hard to know what's reality anymore. But this comes from the arena of the HARP weather modification conspiracy world. HARP is one of the oldest, well, not the oldest. HARP is one of the classic conspiracy theories. There was an array of antennas in Alaska, and it researched the ionosphere. And the theory is that it was pumping energy into it so that weather modification could happen at a planned location. Sounds pretty sophisticated. But the ionosphere, and again, don't quote me on this, but I think the way that works is that I want to say AM radios, they bounce waves off the ionosphere, which actually, it's kind of, they call it the ionosphere because there's ions in it. And it's a conductive I'm getting above my pay grade here on it. Anyways, you can bounce signals off of it. And the theory is that HARP can shoot a energy beam into the ionosphere and have it bounce off wherever in the world they want the hurricane or tornado or earthquake to happen. It's a theory. HARP was transferred ownership to the University of Alaska in 2015. And one of the, and here's the thing is that can people modify weather? Yes, you can. Operation Popeye was used to do some cloud seeding and flood the Ho Chi Minh trails in Vietnam. Even in Utah here, they do cloud seeding up in the mountains when there's years with low snow. And this ties into chemtrails. I used to be real, I used to be suspicious of the chemtrails theory, and I used to think, man, I don't know. But now I kind of think, I lean more towards that maybe that is a thing that happens, right? Because I've seen, not theories, I've seen videos or articles, I don't remember, that were talking about actual chemtrails happening. For scientific reasons, they were what do you call it? Is it called cloud seeding? Oh, sorry. We go past an hour and my brain gets mushy, okay? That's why I limit my shows to an hour, but I got a lot to talk about today. But here's one thing I will say. I certainly don't know if HAARP is causing earthquakes. I was once asked to appear on a television show to say this, to say I believed HAARP was causing earthquakes, and I wouldn't do it because my word means more to me than anything. And guess what? They didn't let me on the show. And look, I feel like I'm way ahead of my time. I've never regretted. I always regret sticking to my principles and my beliefs when things like that happen. I'm like, damn it, I wanted to be on TV. Ooh, I had a shot and I blew it. But then down the road, I always am happy I did it. I'm always happy I stick with my word. Because sometimes conspiracy truthers, we can get a bit overzealous. We can run with things, okay? And here's an example of why I'm glad I didn't go on TV and say, yeah, HAARP's causing earthquakes. Because conspiracy people can get a little overzealous. And the listeners who trust us want to do something about it, okay? I'm going to read you from Wikipedia. I didn't find this out until I was researching this stuff today, yesterday. Two Georgia men arrested on drug charges in November 2016 were reportedly plotting domestic terrorism based on conspiracy theories about HAARP. The Coffee County Sheriff's Office said the men possessed a massive arsenal that included AR-15s, Glocks, a Remington rifle, and thousands of rounds of ammo. According to police, the men wanted to destroy HAARP because they believed the facility manipulates the weather, controls minds, and even traps the souls of people. People say the men confessed that God told them to go and blow this machine up that kept souls, so souls could be released. Now, I remember Jesse Ventura had a TV show, and he talked about the HAARP, and there was a part of it where he showed how you could induce a thought into or a voice into someone else's head. I think is what I remember seeing. That was a long time ago. Anyway, so don't do that, right? But conspiracy truther types like Marjorie Taylor Greene, she said, you know, there were these you-know-who spaced lasers that started wildfires in California just a few years ago. That could be where a lot of people jumped right to that with the Maui fires. In fact, I read her full post about the you-know-who's space-based lasers. And she actually had a complex theory. It was either semi-intelligent or rambling nutty. I couldn't quite follow it all. But she was talking about PG&E stocks and the Rothschilds. So I don't think it was quite as simple and stupid as the media wanted to portray her. But nonetheless, that was a thing she brought up. So, you know, what I'm saying is conspiracy theorists have a nice little background of talking lasers and all that stuff. Another support for that theory is that it appears that the fires targeted a lot of homes. Yeah, there's trees all around these homes with no damage, which is really weird. And the theory is that these are the houses that BlackRock wants. Even Alex Jones wasn't buying the laser theory. I watched a little bit of InfoWars, about 10 minutes or so, and he was saying that, like, look, I don't think it could have been known with the laser. It's a multi-billion dollar weapon. You could use a simple 75-cent lighter. I was like, yeah, that's true. It could have just been a lighter. Then, you know, he says, who was holding the lighter? It was the left. The Antifa on the left. Because Antifa doesn't want people to have homes and cars. And look, that's where, you know, I'm very socially liberal, but I do agree that the problem with communists And the Antifa thing, even, I don't know what the Antifa's, I don't know what their stances are on anything. I have no idea. But when you get to communism, like in China, they've got the social credit score, which is crazy. But there is an idea that property is theft. And I disagree with that. Like, I'm capitalist enough that I think, no, I think people should have, you know, if you can accumulate some wealth or your own little land, an own little piece of sanctity, which, of course, the government still owns it. You got to pay taxes to keep your house. But it's kind of the best system. It's kind of your best way of having some level of freedom and autonomy, is to sort of cut the strings and say, look, dog eat dog, go for it. You know what I mean? And I get it, right? I critique a lot of capitalism, but I'm like, you can't be one of the, I don't want to call it a loser because I think that's cruel, but you can't be on the bottom. You can't embrace any sort of victim mentality, and it is a tough system. You got to toughen up, and you got to make your way to have, you got to fight for your freedom. You got to work for your freedom. You know what I mean? And I get it. Like, not everyone's got the strength, and we should try to help take care of those people that aren't strong enough mentally, physically, whatever, right? But some people are strong enough and they're being told the wrong messaging, and they embrace victim, what do you call it? Victim culture. It's, you know what it is? And it's like, I saw there's this whole topic about outlaw country, and I saw everyone promoting this video, this redheaded dude playing a banjo out in the woods, crying about what's going to America. Like, he's complaining about what happened to America, whatever, right? And I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like, when do we say that this is promoting victim culture? Yeah, I get it. Like, things aren't great. I get that. But, like, are you going to sit here and cry about it? Or are you going to just, like, try to make things happen and work yourself out, right? All right, moving on. Jeez. I keep soapboxing today, folks. Sorry. Let's talk about the occult. This is more up my field of interest. Serious. And we're going to talk about this. All started, the whole thing with the Maui fires started from Hurricane Dora on August 8th. Now, Hurricane Dora was a tropical storm that upgraded to a hurricane on August 1st. Eventually it crossed the international dateline on the 11th. Now they call it a typhoon. Same difference. But on Tuesday, August 8th, is when it came closest to Maui, about 800 miles away. And the winds from the hurricane exacerbated this fire and made it spread. So you could argue that the fire was, in fact, made worse through the hurricane. The winds from the hurricane, all right? And that happened on August 8th. Now, August 8th in astrology was the Lion's Gate portal. All right. Now, astrology, of course, being one of the oldest occult sciences, from the Babylonian stargazers looking up at the skies. Because I don't do astrology things too hard, I'm going to read you from New York Post. It says, heart healing and mane shaking, the mythic Lion's Gate portal opens on August 8th, 2023, a date observed by ancients, astrologers, and numerologists alike. The portal widens its jaws from July 28th to August 12th, but its powers are thought to peak on the 8th. The power of the Lion's Gate lies in the cosmic synergy between stars, signs, and numbers, but the term itself refers to the annual alignment between the Sun in Leo and Sirius, the brightest star in the night sky, also known as Alpha Canis Majoris, or Dog Star. Ancient Egyptians venerated Sirius as the personification of the agricultural goddess Sobtet and associated the star's helical rising with the annual flooding of the Nile River and the onset of a new year. Now, sounds intriguing, right? And of course, we're going to come back to this in a second, but I want to finish talking to you about what the New York Post wrote about this. In numerology, the number 8 is symbolic of abundance and achievement, and also of karmic debts. A power number, 8 8 is the union of the material and the spiritual, represented by the interlocking circles within the numeral itself. Predictably, the double dose
I'm
thinking of Idiocracy with the double dose of pimping. The double dose of 8-8, the eighth day of the eighth month, offers the opportunity for spirit to make the intangible tangible and our intentions our actualities. In astrology, the eighth house is associated with sex, death, and regeneration. Sirius Scorpionic business. The eighth house speaks to the cyclical nature of life and loss, and also to the unending. The number 8 being an upturned infinity symbol. Consequently, for the ancients and in keeping with themes of death and rebirth, the Sirius star disappears for 70 days every year, and it takes approximately 70 days to complete the process of mummification. All right, let's unpack all this. Sirius. This is an important concept in the occult because in Freemasonry, they refer to this as the blazing star. And when you see this icon in the lodges and such, it looks like a sun, but in fact, it is just Sirius. Like you said, the brightest star. And this goes back to Babylon and the mystery religion. They call it the sun behind the sun. It's the source of occult power, hidden power. Crowley's, one of his organizations was called the Silver Star, the Argentum Astrum. Well, the Silver Star is, in fact, Sirius. Kenneth Grant said that this was the source of Crowley's Thelemic Current. It's his religion, basically. The Great Bear Constellation is believed by theosophists to be the seven stars of Pleiades, and they send cosmic energy through Sirius. And it goes from Sirius to the sun to the earth, the integrated ascended masters, and then mankind. It's also the occult source of enlightenment. Alan Greenfield said it's the source of true gods that visited earth and gave us the hidden cipher for contact that stayed in the mystery schools. And what he could be referring to maybe is the Enochian language to speak with the quote-unquote angels. This Sirius is also the source of Luciferian wisdom, as per Albert Pike and Helena Blavatsky. But Kenneth Grant said that Awaz, that's the entity that talked to Crowley. Kenneth Grant said that Awaz came from the Sirius star system and is the source of Thelemic Current that will unlock Typhonian mysteries and release entities from another dimension. And finally, occultists believe that Sirius could also be the representation of the Isis goddess, and Egyptians based their calendar on the star, and it goes back to the ideas that the Sumerians were contacted by androgynous aliens from Sirius, and occultists love it when the Sirius star is closest to us around the dog days of summer, hence Sirius is the dog star. That's why they call it the dog days of summer. Because Sirius is close to us. So you could see that in terms of the occult, August 8th being the day of Sirius being in alignment is pretty important. But let's talk about that 8 for a second, because they mentioned it was sex, death, and regeneration. If you've been listening to my show, you know we talk a lot about sex and death. I did 2 sex magic episodes about a year or so ago. You must hear them. Because sex magic is the heart of all occult wisdom, and it's fundamental to understanding how the whole thing works. I don't know from experience, I know from reading it, okay? And death is the Freudian Thanatos drive. It's the opposing polarity to sex, or the creative magic. That's why the initiates always go through a death and rebirth ritual, all right? And you could argue this with any event. But to see the destruction of someone's home and, you know, even people they know that they've lost is a bit of a death and a rebirth ritual there, in a way. That's why you see it in many films. Eyes Wide Shut is the big one, right? Twin Peaks. It's also in Twin Peaks, and I can't. And look, I can't say what signifies how the eight appears in Twin Peaks, because I've got an entire audience of folks who haven't seen the show and they're watching it with me for the first time over in the Grey Lodge series that I've been doing on Patreon and such. So I'm going to speak in coded language here so that I don't spoil nothing. But in season three, maybe you've noticed a curious usage for the number eight or the infinity symbol. Well, you can hear what it's all about right here. Sex and death. Regeneration. Now, in conclusion, I told you... Let me go through... Let me recap first, okay? If you go with the real estate angle, you could argue that the ones who could benefit the most very well could be this BlackRock, Vanguard, Unholy Union. They own a little bit of everything. They're the largest shareholder of the Hawaiian Electric Company, Vanguard is, who didn't turn off the power, and that's also spread more fire damage. And they knew this. They're, like I said, there was a report from 2020 that said, look, this island is covered with these grasses that Big Sugar planted, and they're going to catch one day, and it's going to be a problem. And if you knew this, you might think, oh, well, maybe we'll just leave those power lines active and we'll see what happens. And we already know these big mega private equity firms, they love to snap up people's homes. They love it. And we already know the oligarchy has already had their hands all over Hawaiian economies and lifestyles and governments, right? And of course, BlackRock... symbolically ties to the black stone or the black cube, like the Kaabah. And it's the example of the Saturnian symbol. And what does Saturn represents? Death, constriction, restrictions, and the Saturnian death cults. We also know Sirius is the star of occult powers and held its maximum value on August 8th when all of this started. And on the surface, you could argue that this is, in fact, an occult symbolism-rich event, so it must be Illuminate confirmed. You could argue that. And I could get behind that, but also think, well, I would also have to subscribe to the idea that the Illuminati either created or monitored a hurricane that they knew would hit Maui precisely on August 8th, so all the pieces could fall in line. I mean, that's a bit tough. I could get behind the idea that maybe they saw the hurricane coming and thought, oh, wow, look at the timing here. Maybe this is what we do to make this ritualistic. Who knows? But what I do know, I'm going to flow another theory out there, and you're going to agree with me on this. The biggest conspiracy of them all, insurance. That's right. That's what it's all about. Somehow, some way, it's going to be about insurance. The estimate of the damage from Moody's shows at least $1 billion, 2,000 structures damaged, average home price is over $1 million. Ironically, if you had travel insurance to go vacation to Maui, you'd probably ass out too. The travel insurance says, well, guess what? We found a clause that you're not covered. And, Maui actually had a relatively low interest or insurance rates due to a lack of natural disasters. I'm going to read to you, though, from a New York Times article talking about insurance on Maui in the fire. It says, insurance rates are set on a state level with varying degrees of government regulation and intervention. Typically, states like Hawaii that have strong private insurance markets have not needed forceful state involvement on rates. After Hurricane Iniki hit Hawaii in 1992, the legislature created a fund to provide hurricane insurance to homeowners. But that fund ceased operations in 2002 because the private market had returned to full strength. More broadly across the United States, some private insurers have begun retreating as national disasters have mounted, leaving the overall market in peril. So what you've got here is the supposed free market capitalism of insurance, even though it's mandated you have it, and it's not a bad idea. I've got insurance out the wazoo, but I know they're going to try every which way not to cover every single thing I claim. And they do. And they succeed almost all the time. But what a racket. You know what I mean? And I don't know what the answer is, because it's like, man, I like having things insured, because I'm not going to save up that money and pay for some, you know, a new thing, whatever the thing happens that you're covering. So basically, the insurance companies, they only want to play ball when they can cut a profit, which, duh, of course, right? It's a business. But they don't even offer up coverage if there's risk there. The government has to step in and provide insurance in this case. And then once the risk gets lower, the insurance companies say, okay, we'll come in. We're interested now. Okay. So there's got to be a government, I don't know, that socialism, if it's taking a role in doing what these insurance companies are supposed to do. And we're seeing home insurance problems in Florida and Cali. State Farm said they're not even going to sell home insurance in Cali because of, I think, because of the fires. And one of the reasons why insurance companies are bailing on, you know, two of the most popular states to live in, Florida and Cali, is because of climate change, is what they say. And that's why I'm not always opposed to believing in climate change. If corporate America admits it, you know, except for those fossil fuel companies, of course, they've been paying hefty amounts to make sure that there's lots of questions about it. But if the insurance companies aren't getting in on some action, then you got to at least consider that maybe they've studied this and they think, man, that's a real thing. Now, I've heard that Maui passed some kind of, I don't know, ruling or law or something saying they were redistricting the land. Now insurance won't cover it. I don't know. But if you know, as far as insurance companies goes, look at Big Pharma. Look at health insurance, which is a racket. And I'm going to use German pig Latin here, but if you look up the Oxenve incentive program Anthem bonus on Google, you'll see how there were insurance companies paying doctors bonuses based on how many of their patients they could get to take the thing. You know what I mean? The Oxenve. And I don't even need to do research to tell you that insurance is a scam, right? That's how big of a scam it is. I don't even need to defend it. Most of you out there probably say, yeah, that's bogus, right? They find ways to not cover your problem. The reason you bought the insurance is in case something happens. And then something happens and then they're like, well, we're not going to cover that. And then they work hand in hand with the government to mandate that you have it. I heard that, because you know how every politician that runs for office, they, you know, they've got donors and PACs, and Citizens United makes it so the corporations can pay for their way. Every president, I hear the first day they get in office, the first place they go and visit and shake hands is with the insurance companies. That's what I've heard. Anyway, and lots of people are going to say, oh, okay, so, you know, the Illuminati, the reptile people, and they're going to sacrifice tons of humans and homes because they're greedy. And I agree with all that, right? But look at the insurance companies. They literally do that. They literally do that. No reptiles from Draco theories needed. Just horrible old humans. Just insurance companies saying, oh my God, this is so horrible. You guys, you lost everything. And behind the scenes, they're scrambling to find a clause to make sure they don't cover nothing. The insurance companies never say, oh my God, like a fire took out the whole city. Let's really like make sure we stretch the legalities of these contracts to make sure we can cover what these people are going to need to get them back on their feet. That's not what they do. They're scrambling behind the scenes to find a way not to pay for this shit. Because that's what they do. They are the reptile people. They always find a way to weasel out of it, right? The grossest humans are here. They're not from Draco. And they're capitalists. It's not even real, true free market capitalism. That's what John Carpenter was showing us in They Live. He was showing us that. So there you go. There's a handful of theories. Pick your favorite one. And, share this episode with a friend. Surely people are talking about this around the water cooler. Share this episode and I can shed some light on it with some actual facts and some decent conspiracy talk. Debunking some conspiracies, supporting others. And I hope you enjoy the show. And if you want to support the show, you can either leave a 5-star review, you can share it with a friend, those are free, or if you want to support the show financially, you can sign up for my supporter feeds. You go ad-free and you get tons of bonus episodes, including the bonus Twin Peaks Grey Lodge, which I'm getting ready to record another one. You can get in and, I'm on patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. You can sign up for Apple Premium. It's the click of a button. It's so easy. Blah, blah, blah. Links are in the show notes. Till next time, stay woke.